From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for the 10th day of February 2014. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the WASDE figures released this morning by USDA and the World Agricultural Outlook Board. They showed a decrease of 150 million bushels in the corn ending stocks figure. The soybean number remains unchanged. Daryl Good will be here to look at those numbers, and Kirk Kimball will be along to take up the impact on the commodity markets. We'll also discuss the cash grain market today with the folks at the Andersons from right here in Champaign County, and look at the weather forecast with the guys at Earth Risk Technologies in Chicago, Illinois, all on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from the University of Illinois.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and dry down data, is at AgriGold.com.
Let's check the numbers now in Chicago as they finished up at the CME Group for a Monday afternoon. Nearby March wheat at $5.84¾, up 7¼ today. July up 6 cents at $5.89¾. That, of course, the harvest month. March corn at $4.43, down a penny and a quarter. The May at $4.48¾, down 1¼. And July futures 0.75 cents lower at $4.54¾. December corn $4.58¼. The new crop settled down a penny and 3/4. And the February or March contract at $4.66¾, down 2¼ cents. Soy complex now, March beans, $13.25½, down 6. May futures 5¼ lower, $13.12¼. In July, soybeans, $12.95½, down 2½. August, $12.49½, a penny and a half lower. November beans at $11.16¼, 5½ cents lower for the afternoon. Bean meal futures at $444, down $2.40. Bean oil at $38.73, finished 17 cents lower for the day. Live cattle futures at the Mercantile Exchange CME Group. February contract, $141.50, up 30. April at $140.17½, down 22½. March feeder cattle, $167.90, up a dime. And the April at $168.80, 27½ cents higher. February lean hogs, $86.35, down 22½. The April futures up 2½ cents. Their settlement price at $94.75 per 100 pounds. You're listening, of course, to Illinois Public Media. You can always find our programming online at willag.org. That's willag.org. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures for the day. March contract, $100.07 a barrel, up 19 cents. The RBOB gasoline or wholesale price at $2.72¢. Ethanol futures at $1.98¢, up 0.3 cents, or rather up 3 cents. And the spread is now 73¢ wide. That's a nickel and 2 cents narrower than it was on Friday afternoon. Natural gas at $4.57½, down 20 cents, and diesel fuel trading at $2.99¢, 5¾ cents lower. Gold futures at $1,274.80 on the end of the day, up $11.60, and the U.S. dollar trading 80.64 is down 0.04 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area today. Sunny and cold, a high of just 9 degrees. Wind chill values of 5 below to 0 on a northwest wind at about 9 miles an hour. And then for this evening, we can look forward to mostly clear skies and a low of 12 degrees. That's not unusual when we have clear skies. Of course, things chill down dramatically, and that low is negative 12 by the low. By the way, wind chill values between 15 and 20 below tonight. Tomorrow, sunny skies and 12 degrees. Wind chill values between negative 12 and negative 22. And then on Tuesday night, partly cloudy and a 3 below actual number. Wind chills between 8 below and 13 below. On Wednesday, sunny skies and 25 degrees, partly cloudy on Wednesday evening and 12 degrees. Thursday, partly sunny and 32. Thursday night, cloudy and a 17-degree low. We'll have more on the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with the folks at Earth Risk Technologies there in Chicago, Illinois.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois. For over 96 years, generations of farmers have turned to Farm Credit for their financial needs. Whether a young farmer or a seasoned grower, Farm Credit offers products and services geared specifically to the agricultural community.
It's a Monday afternoon. This is the 10th day of February 2014. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. On the phone line to take up the commodity markets and this morning's release of the World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates, or the WASD report by USDA, is Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, normally the February numbers aren't very exciting. That wasn't really the case today. Tell me about them.
Well, probably the big surprise was in the corn sector, coming in with a 1.481 carryout. That fueled the fire, per se. Came in the export sector, increased corn exports over 150 million bushel. Well, this wasn't too long ago. There was fear we'd have problems with corn and DDG exports to Asia, per se, but evidently they're seeing no problem whatsoever of corn having troubles moving into Asia, and therefore exports should remain relatively strong. That was a fairly aggressive move, per se, but we still got a lot of the marking year to go. There's still going to be some shuffling around of the supply-demand balance sheet. But also on the corn side of the equation, you know, continue to watch the southern hemisphere on that winter corn crop, see how it goes for them as we move down the road. So there's going to be a lot of ups and downs in here as we move forward, according to these reports. The big surprise, secondly, was the B numbers unchanged here in the U.S. Trade was leaning heavily to a slightly smaller carryout estimate, and it came in virtually unchanged with a little bigger production in the southern hemisphere, a little jockeying between Argentina and Brazil. And I guess, thirdly, the wheat market held in there quite well with a little tighter situation there, Todd.
Interestingly, at least for the corn and soybeans, it seems that the marketplace in Chicago was not particularly impressed with the numbers in any form. And decided to just finish corn down a penny and a quarter. Beans were down 6 cents for the day. This despite the fact that the trade on average, I think, was up around the 1.6 billion bushel carryout for the ending stocks for corn.
Yeah, that was kind of discouraging for the market not to really perform with that type of bullish news. I think it's just a sign that the speculator isn't really in the marketplace, per se, and wasn't there to sort of bite on that news and take it with it. And I think it might have been somewhat, you know, anticipated. We've seen a lot of short covering ahead of the report. We saw the larger traders cover some short call options, and I think we're in a position here where the market did reach some key technical points and just kind of ran out of steam and closed slightly lower in the day, up around this 449.5 level. That's 38% retracement off the low back up to the 520 high. You know, if we can get through this 450 area up front, that can maybe be a signal we can go some to some higher levels. But this 450 is probably going to be a barrier here over the near term.
Was there a corn cancellation that might have tempered this morning's report? Is that right? Did I see something about China? I just don't recall or remember at all.
There could have been. I did not see it.
I think it was not today. I think it was earlier.
It was in the if there was some cancellations, and I did not see it being the weekly export inspections report on the weekly shipment numbers, and that corn number came in about 27.3 million bushels that we shipped out. Wheat was 16, kind of the middle of the range, and the beans were at the upper end of the range of 56, but there could have been some switching on those shipment numbers at 10 o'clock.
You suppose they'll be happier this evening and tomorrow with the report and what the conditions look like and decide to push things higher?
Well, that's a good question. We'll see what type of market action we have after today's hook reversal down. We've seen the market get up to some technical resistance. Market's a little overbought. Momentum indicators are kind of rolling over. We continue to feel we're kind of a range-bound type of trade here. We don't really see a sharp up or a sharp down. We continue to believe we're going to be in this trading range we've established ever since clear back last fall. The key is, from producers' point of view, is kind of take advantage of these up moves in through here. I know the crop insurance guys continue wanting to cheer on the market here. Basically, we've got the corn average, up in this upper 450 area, and the bean average is trying its best to stay above $11.
All right. Hey, thanks so much.
Very good. See you tonight.
Mm-hmm. I'll see you tonight. I forgot about that almost. Thanks for the reminder. You and Mr. Sherm Newlin and Gary Schnitke. I think I've convinced Mr. Kappas to come out. And Jackie Vakes will be where? At Farm Credit Service, Illinois, in Muhammad, right?
Yeah, we'll guarantee you we'll get a chuckle or two one way or another.
Okay, thanks so much. We'll see you this evening.
Take care.
That is Kurt Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, and will be among the crew that is at the Farm Credit Illinois building there in Mahomet this evening. A nice, easy trip for me tonight. You can come. It's open and free to everybody. I think 5:30 for the registration, 6 o'clock for supper, 6:30 for our event. Come on out to Farm Credit Illinois this evening. And we'll go through today's USDA report and take a look at some of the numbers and try to discover just exactly where the marketplace might be headed in the very, very near future.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
Now, up next, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Daryl Good, ag economist from the University of Illinois. I caught up with him just about 1 o'clock today.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
And this morning, the United States Department of Agriculture, World Agricultural Outlook Board, released the February WASDE figures. This is an accounting of supply and demand for commodities, corn, soybeans, wheat, hogs, cattle in the United States. They changed a couple of the numbers. Some of them were expected, others weren't. And did you expect the 150 million bushel drop in the corn ending stocks?
You know, I really did not. You know, we that came from a 150 million bushel increase in the export projection. And, of course, we've always all been watching the pace of export sales and knew that had been increasing lately. But we'd also seen a fairly significant cancellation of imports by China. So we expected some kind of increase, but I'm not sure 150 was on the radar screen. And that pulls our ending stocks projection down to a pretty reasonable level. I mean, we're looking now at under 1.5 billion, and I think that's kind of a standard that people look at as above or below 1.5 billion. And so this is the third consecutive month that the USDA has lowered the ending stocks projection. So we're not running out of corn, but it looks like stocks are going to be much tighter than we thought just 2 or 3 months ago.
USDA also changed the average season's cash price range. It pushed that up, but it might be important to put that in with what's already been sold and what it really might mean.
Right. The projection now is for the marketing year average price at the midpoint at $4.70, and that's about what we've averaged, I think, during the first 4 months of the marketing year. We don't have an exact weighted average price, but just looking at the individual months, we're right at that 470 level so far this year. So on the surface, it suggests that USDA is expecting prices basically to hold current levels for much of the remaining part of the marketing year.
Does it tell you anything about what producers should do with corn that they have in the bin?
It doesn't give you much of an indication. It says we've had a nice rally in corn prices that started with the January production estimate that was smaller than most people thought, and we were able to maintain that, and then last week we added to that gain. So those that have been holding old crop corn have been rewarded. This suggests that that the downside risk is probably much smaller now than it has been in the past, that if we continue to see some big export sales, depending on where the South American corn crop comes out, there may be a little more upside potential. But we're not looking for big moves, certainly, at this point. And I think conservatively would think the gains that we've gotten over the past month, we should be able to hold those going forward.
the department left the ending stocks for soybeans at 150 million bushels, though it has a new set of calculations to get there.
A bit of a convoluted way to get there. They did raise the export projection 15 million bushels, but simultaneously increased the import projection by 5 million. And then we have this elusive residual category of soybean use. They lowered that number by 10 million to put it down to 12 million for the year. And that's more consistent where it's been the last couple of years. So we were able to see the big export sales that we've been experiencing factored into the export projection. And I think the surprise was that really didn't lower the ending stocks projection, although USDA did raise their price projection for the year. The average of the range, I think a 20-cent increase over last month's projection, $12.70. So, again, that's about where we've been so far this year, maybe just a little higher during the first 4 months.
This all comes despite a potential increase in the total South American soybean crop.
Right. They did change both the Argentine and the production and Brazilian production numbers, and also Paraguay. Raised both Brazil and Paraguay, lowered Argentina, but on net it was an increase. And we did see larger projections of year-ending stocks for both Argentina and Brazil. So if anything, net, it says soybeans worldwide are a little more abundant than what was projected last month. Maybe not substantially, but at least it didn't get any tighter. So in the case of soybean prices, what we've seen is we had a nice December rally that stalled out. March futures about 1340. We backed off a little bit, and then in recent days have rallied again right back to that 1340 level. And then this report seemed to stall that rally again. So we're now trading just under that level. And the question is, can we punch through 1340 here anytime soon for old crop soybean prices?
There were some meat numbers out as well today. USDA took a look at the supplies, expected anyway, and decided the PEDV has had an impact on hogs.
They did lower for the 2014 calendar year, did lower their projection of total production marginally, and did increase their expected price of hogs for the year about $1 a hundredweight. So at the margin, that is having some impact on supply that looks like it will offset the modest expansion that had been reported in the last hogs and pigs report.
Yeah, so now that brings me to the whole kind of supply and demand situation and what it really means for corn and soybeans going forward globally and domestically both. You have a hog supply in the United States that is down slightly. I can't quite recall what the total meat supply looked like or total number of animals consuming. And then an ethanol market or grind that still remains really quite strong. And I'm wondering what it means for both corn and soybeans.
Well, I mean, domestically, it suggests we have a very robust demand base for corn and soybean meal as livestock feed. May not be growing rapidly. The livestock industry is pretty mature, as is the ethanol industry now, with potential for modest growth as we expand ethanol blends and perhaps exports of ethanol. But pretty small growth, but I think the major point is that we have a large fixed consumption base for corn that in many respects puts a pretty good floor under the total demand picture. And the fluctuation we will see going forward is basically in the export market. And I think what we're learning this year is that if we have competitive prices, if our supplies are adequate and we can be competitive on a world basis, that the world is still very interested in U.S. corn. And we're seeing a very large unexpected rebound from last year's really sharp decline in export. So I think, you know, from the demand side, it says that we're in pretty good shape on corn going forward. We have such a large fixed demand. Soybeans, you know, it's kind of a two-edged sword. We continue to see a ramp up in South American production that provides more competition for U.S. soybeans. But to date, that's been completely offset by Chinese demand for soybeans that continues to grow. And the U.S. continues to have record soybean exports in the face of larger and larger South American crops. So I think it underscores the fact that we continue to need large production of both corn and soybeans. We do have the potential, I think, to overproduce, that if we have exceptionally good growing season, we can continue to build inventories a little bit. But over the next year or two or even three, any significant shortfall in production means that those surpluses go away pretty fast. So I think overall we have a pretty good floor under the price of corn and soybeans going forward.
The picture then is a little less dim than it was 3 months ago.
I really think it is. I mean, we've seen a fair amount of talk of $3 corn or even in some rare cases, $2 corn. I think what we're saying is that that's not really in the picture anytime soon. Yes, if we got a couple crops, record production back-to-back, that could happen. We could push corn prices down in the $3 range, but that's not on the immediate radar, I think, until we get well into this growing season.
Darryl, thanks so much for taking the time with us.
My pleasure, Todd. Thank you.
That's Darryl Good, ag economist from the University of Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report. You can always hear him again on our website. The address there is willag.org. We'll have him up and available to you not long after this program finishes up. Now let's check the cash grain market. With us today from the Andersons right here in Champaign County is Greg Johnson for a Monday afternoon. Good afternoon to you, Greg.
Good afternoon, Todd.
What did you think of the numbers this morning from USDA?
Well, I think the trade was looking for a slightly smaller carryouts in both corn and beans. We did get the smaller carryout in corn. Didn't get it in beans, but I think the market saw the good export weekly export inspections number and no cancellations out of China yet, so they kind of, you know, disregarded the fact that they didn't lower the numbers, and I think everything, you know, was pretty friendly, you know, all in all. Not outright bullish, but at least supportive.
Well, the market didn't act that way, though, after the trade came out.
Well, I mean, we were up 4 cents at one time in corn. We fit 4 or 5 cents, and we finished just down a penny. I don't feel that's too bad, considering how much old crop corn the farmers still have left to sell, and the farmers did a good job of selling into this rally. So only down a penny, considering how much corn moved today, I think that's okay.
USDA says the cash grain price isn't going to change that much for the rest of the year.
Yep. On the one hand, the farmers are sitting pretty good financially. They don't have to sell at those extremely low prices. But on the other hand, there is a fair amount of old crop corn that still needs to be sold. So I think that limits the upside as well. So we're kind of stuck in this range. And anytime we get to the upper end of the range, that's probably not a bad place to sell.
Locally, and when I say locally, I mean there at the Andersons, how does usage look?
Well, you know, there's good demand for corn, but now with these higher prices, we're starting to see farmer movement, and basis levels tend to slip a little bit when the movement picks up. But the weather's been so cold and has not been good for moving corn or beans of any kind for about a month and a half now. So that's helping offset some of maybe the weakness. So basis levels have been hanging in there pretty steadily. You know, even though the farmer movement has picked up.
And what are your bids for the day?
Cash corn tonight is 436 on the old crop corn. New crop corn is 433. Old beans are 1330. New beans, 1091. And new wheat is 565.
Hey, thanks so much, Greg.
Thanks, Todd.
Greg Johnson with the Andersons from right here in Champaign County joins us on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. Remember, we'll be at the Farm Credit Illinois building. That's in Mahomet. Farm Credit Services this evening, starting at 5:30 for registration, supper at 6, and our program at 6:30 tonight. It's all available to you.
It's National Cream Cheese Brownie Day. The first cream cheese in the U.S. is generally believed to have been produced by William Lawrence in New York in 1872. But references to cream cheese date back to at least 1754 in England and even earlier, 1651 in France. On this day in agricultural history in 1835, Victor Henson was born. An oceanographer, he coined the term plankton, Greek for wanderer or drifter, for the tiny organisms found in water. Practically all animal life in the sea is ultimately dependent on plankton. In 1846, Ira Remsen was born. He was an American chemist and the co-discoverer of saccharin, the artificial sweetener. he accidentally discovered its taste while eating dinner rolls. After a long day at the lab, he noted the rolls at first tasted sweet and then bitter. Remsen's wife tasted nothing strange, leading Remsen to lick his fingers and discover the bitter taste of chemicals he had been working with, and saccharin was born. And in 1944, Frances Moore Lapp was born. She was the author of the best-selling Diet for a Small Planet, which indirectly encouraged a vegetarian diet by demonstrating that raising animals for food was an inefficient use of resources. And that's This Day in Agricultural History.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on this Monday afternoon. The guys at Earth Risk Technologies are with us to take a look at the weather forecast, and it is a cold one, or has been for the past several hours. Mark Russo is here to tell us what it looks like in the future. Hi, Mark. How are you?
Good, Todd. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm very, very well. So it's been cold. It was really cold this morning. I was not braced for that kind of 8 below weather today.
Well, Todd, you should be used to it. We've had like 2 straight months of this, so your butt should be thinking enough that that shouldn't be of any kind of issue. So you must have been underdressed. But anyways, you can look forward to some warmer weather here that will be developing across Illinois, let alone the entire middle section of the country here, starting next week. Unfortunately, we still have to go through a few more days. We have to go through the remainder of this week. They'll still be biased on the cold side, but as we get into next week, it looks like the jet stream across North America does a significant change around, and as a result, they'll allow milder Pacific air to begin streaming eastward across the country, ultimately warming up our temperatures and getting out of this just this extreme winter cold that we've been in here, seems like forever.
Will it be warm enough to melt snow?
It will certainly, and we see temperatures climbing up into the 40s, even some 50s in southern sections of Illinois by the early part of next week. And that should certainly lead to a significant melting of the snow. The one caveat to this is that with the increase in temperatures, there will be some precip systems along with that, too. So that's something to watch, and just how heavy some of the precip systems are, primarily in the form of rain. And with the, you know, extensive snowpack that we have, does that lead to some localized flooding?
How soon will you know what those tracks look like, and can you tell us where it might rain at this point?
Well, at this time, at least the biggest storm system is projected about a little over 10 days from now, so more so towards the latter part of next week. So a lot can change between now and then, but certainly with this new pattern coming up, we do see numerous precip systems coming through, and we'll be able to fine-tune it as we go through this week.
Anything new from South America that we should know about for the weather?
Yeah, Brazil is seeing an increase in rainfall, especially out west in areas of Mato Grosso down through Rio Grande do Sul in the south. That'll be taking place here by the end of this week. As we go into next week, we do see that rainfall begin to expand eastward in the areas of southeastern Brazil. And so overall, it's a much more active pattern here setting up across Brazil. And the impacts are mixed. It's detrimental, causing some now logistical issues or harvest problems for your soybeans and the transportation there. But then there's also some soybeans still going through pod development across southern Brazil, and that'll benefit those.
Thanks so much, Mark.
You're welcome, Todd.
Mark Russo, of course, is with Earth Risk Technologies. He is in Chicago, Illinois. Joins us on this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report. By the way, if you'd like to see all the information from this morning's World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates, a couple ways to do that. The easiest thing is just to visit our website at willag.org. and you look into the USDA Reports link. That's in the menu over on the right-hand side of the page. I'm Todd Gleason.